Attention! This makes absolutely no sense. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Xander's Facts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the latest edition of the Xander's Facts podcast. I am, of course, the aforementioned Xander. It's Wednesday, March 20th, episode 136. I'm in a pretty good mood, y'all, to be honest, because number one, this podcast is coming out on time, and number two, it's one of my favorite podcasts that we do every year. It is our March Madness Bracket Reveal. I love doing this podcast because it is not just March Madness with college basketball and everything that's going on, and I have gotten two of the last three national champions correctly, just thought I'd let you know. But my brother Andrew gets to join me on this podcast this week as we break down our brackets, why we think the teams are going to win that do. It's a whole big thing. Y'all are going to want to listen to it. It is one of my favorite podcasts we do every single year. We're going to get to that in just a second. But before we do, just thought I'd remind you all that if you like the Xander's Facts podcast, if you think you're going to like all the facts on this week's edition, I know you will, follow this podcast on your podcasting app, download this episode to your device. Y'all, that is the most important thing. If you could do that, and then you can delete it the next day, it still counts. Download this episode, rate and review the podcast too. Check us out on all the socials, Threads, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, at Xander's Facts, that's Xander with a Z. And most importantly, remember to tell all your friends. We like to call it spreading the facts around here. Tell all your friends about the podcast, the newsletter, Xander's Weekend Facts. If you don't know, it is a recap of the week's top headlines that I write every Sunday morning. It's an awesome newsletter. You should sign up. It is free to do so in this episode's description. And you can also check out the Xander's Facts link tree, which is also linked in this episode's description, because it has all the Xander's Facts links that you need. And you can listen to any of our past 135 episodes, too, probably where you're listening to this podcast. We've got new facts every week, so make sure you don't miss any of the facts that you want to. All those episodes should be available wherever you're listening to this podcast. This week, though, we've got some massive facts to get to, because the NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Tournament, college basketball, the postseason is here, y'all. It is March. That means March Madness. And this year, especially, we've got a couple of wild storylines going on, exciting teams. It's going to be a pretty fun March Madness, I think, y'all. The NCAA tournament, it begins on Thursday. That's when the first round begins. And so today, Wednesday, March 20th, I am joined by my very own brother, as I have been the last 3 years, Andrew, to exclusively unveil our March Madness brackets. I know everybody is waiting for the factual brackets. Each of us are picking every single game in this tournament from the first game all the way to the national champion. Y'all, you're going to want to hear who our national champions are, because like most things on this podcast, it's probably factual. Let's get to that right now. Our Xander's Facts exclusive March Madness bracket reveal with my very own brother, Andrew, as the Xander's Facts podcast continues.
Xander's Facts.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode 136 of the Xander's Facts podcast. Y'all, this is one of, if not the biggest podcasts we do every single year. It's one of my most favorite podcasts we do every single year, because it's not just March Madness. We're not just exclusively unveiling our factual March Madness brackets to the world on this podcast, but I am pleased to be joined, as I am every year. This is the fourth year we are doing this, if you can believe that, by my own brother, Andrew, who is bringing his college basketball facts to the podcast for the fourth year in a row. Andrew, how's it going?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling strong this year. I feel like I got all the right picks. At least the winner. I have to get the winner.
That is true. That's the only thing that counts. That's true. So, in case you don't know what we're talking about, we are talking about the NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Tournament, which crowns the champion of men's college basketball. But as it is called March Madness, the Madness began on Tuesday with the first four, which is basically the teams that were almost out of the tournament playing their way in. The first round of the tournament starts on Thursday. So because this podcast is coming out on Wednesday, y'all have time to fix your brackets so that you've got your facts ready to go. But we're starting Thursday. We go all the way to April 8th. That Monday is when the national championship game takes place. And the Final Four takes place 2 days before, Sunday, April 6th. And as it is the case every year, all the games in the tournament are going to air on one of four networks, CBS, TBS, TNT, and True TV. The final four in the national championship air on TBS this year. So, the bracket, the selection show, was on Sunday. The 68 teams in the tournament, we know those teams now, and now it is time for Andrew and I to exclusively unveil our brackets. So y'all know the facts before you watch a single minute of March Madness. It is one of my favorite weeks of the year when we start at noon and we go to like past midnight of just crazy, intense, exciting college basketball featuring players and teams you've never heard of before, but yet they're beating like the best teams in the world. It's incredible.
That's cool.
So, Andrew, let's get it going. We have got a ton of games to talk about. We are predicting, we are unveiling our brackets. We are predicting every single game in this tournament. And if you're following along, we are going to start in the top left quadrant of the bracket. That is the East region, where UConn is the number one team in not just this region, but the number one overall seed in this tournament. They are the defending national champions, and they are playing Stetson in the first round, the 16 seed who won the Atlantic Sun tournament. They're in the Division I tournament for the first time ever, and yet they were going to lose that game, I'm pretty sure.
Yep, that is exactly what I chose.
I don't think we have any disagreements there. That game, by the way, taking place on Friday. The first round games take place Thursday and Friday this week. That game is 2:45 p.m. on CBS in Brooklyn. Earlier that day, Andrew, at 12:15 on CBS, this is the first game of the day on Friday in Brooklyn. The 8th seed, Florida Atlantic, faces the 9th seed, Northwestern. Who you got?
I have FAU to win this one. They have a strong backcourt with John L. Davis going along with their 7-footer. And I think that that's just going to be too much for Northwestern.
I agree as well. Even though Northwestern has the 5th best 3-point shooter in the country, Boo Booey, which is a pretty good name, but he's not going to last past the game because Florida Atlantic's offense is top tier. So I got Florida Atlantic as well in that game. And then the 5th seed is San Diego State. The East region is absolutely loaded. You've got UConn, who won the national championship last year, and San Diego State, who played UConn in the national championship game last year. They're the 5th seed in this tournament. They face UAB, who was the 12th seed. Yaxel Lendeborg is a name you'll probably hear if you watch this game. His 10.7 rebounds per game are 9th in Division I for UAB. But San Diego State has a top 10 defense this year, according to KenPom, so I got to go with San Diego State.
Yep, I'm also going San Diego State. They have pretty notable wins against top 25 teams, and I think that they're just going to be the better team than UAB.
Our brackets are looking pretty factual so far, let me tell you.
That's not a fact.
Number 4 seed is Auburn. They are facing the 13th seed Yale. By the way, that San Diego State UAB game, just so you know, is Friday, 1:45 p.m. on TNT in Spokane, Washington. This game is right after that at 4:15 p.m. on TNT on Friday in Spokane. Auburn and the 13th seed Yale. Auburn has won their last 6 games, including the SEC title game. They're one of the hottest teams in the country. Yale hit a buzzer beater in the Ivy League championship to beat Brown. Andrew, who you got?
I have Auburn. Auburn has been very strong this year. I'm honestly surprised they're only a 4 seed. And I think that they will just be the much better team than Yale and probably blow them out.
I would tend to agree. They definitely have come on hot. They've been a good team all year, but they've come on hot recently, which maybe has affected their seeding. But I've got Auburn winning this game as well. Yale had to get a buzzer beater to beat Brown in the Ivy League championship, so I got Auburn as well. The 6th seed in this region is BYU. The 11th seed is Duquesne, by the way. D-U-Q-U-E-S-N-E. It's Duquesne is how you say that university's name I have learned recently. This game is Thursday, 12:40 p.m. on True TV in Omaha, Nebraska. So this is one of the first games that's going to tip off on Thursday. BYU, the Cougars, they got some big wins. It's their first season in the Big 12 conference, by the way. They beat Baylor, Kansas, and Iowa State. That's a pretty good 3 to beat in that conference. Duquesne beat VCU in the Atlantic 10 tournament final, and they haven't lost since February 23rd. But they haven't played anybody like BYU since February 23rd. So I got to go with BYU.
Yep, I agree with you there. I think BYU has gone against too much better competition like Iowa State and Kansas, and notably beating those teams. So I think that Duquesne will probably just be just another day in the office.
Did you know it was pronounced Duquesne? Were you worried?
Nope. I have no clue.
You didn't know.
What are you talking about?
We got a couple teams who we do know how to pronounce in this next game. Thursday at 3:10 on True TV in Omaha, Nebraska. Number 3, Illinois. Number 14, Morehead State. You got.
So this is an upset. I'm going Morehead State. There's always that game in the tournament. You just got this gut feeling that it's going to happen. And that's what I think is going to happen here. I think they're coming off of the Big Ten tournament win. And I think that they're going to be overly confident going against a 14 seed. And I think it's just going to happen.
I can see where you're coming from because Morehead State is actually 9th in the country in effective field goal percentage. But they lost all 4 games they played against Quad 1 and Quad 2 teams this season. And Illinois, they won the Big Ten tournament for the first time in 20 years, and they led the conference in points per game this season. So I got to go with Illinois. This is the first time we differ. How about that?
Oh, no.
First round, number 7 seed, Washington State, and number 10 seed, Drake, who is led by Tucker DeVries. His 21.8 points per game are 6th most in the country. But Wazoo is the only team to have beaten Arizona twice in the Pac-12 this season. Arizona was the number 1 team in the Pac-12, and they have a top 30 defense. But because of that name, Tucker DeVries, and big names shine in the NCAA tournament, I got Drake, the winners.
So do I.
Of the Missouri Valley Conference.
Hey, don't underrate the Missouri Valley. They have Indiana State. It was a surprise that didn't make the tournament. Even though they lost in the finals against Drake, it was still a surprise that they didn't make it. And so that's a big win for them.
And then the final game of the first round in this region is Iowa State and South Dakota State. South Dakota State, the 15 seed, Iowa State, the 2 seed. That last game we just talked about, Washington State, Drake, is Thursday, 10:05 p.m. on True TV in Omaha, Nebraska. This game is right before that on Thursday at 7:35 p.m. on True TV in Omaha. Iowa State actually might be even hotter than Auburn. They beat Houston by 28 points in the Big 12 title game. Andrew, I don't think we differ on this pick, do we?
No, we do not. Iowa State is on fire right now. I don't think anyone's going to really get in front of that, especially a 15 seed.
Yeah, and one that has not won an NCAA tournament game, by the way, South Dakota State. We both got Iowa State. To the second round, to the weekend, Saturday and Sunday games. Let's start with both of us have the number 1 seed UConn against the number 8 seed Florida Atlantic. This would be Sunday in Brooklyn. These two teams were both in the Final Four last year, so was San Diego State, and they'll meet in the second round this year, I think. UConn's dominance on both ends of the ball, though, is going to put away an FAU squad that some say is better than last year's, but they had a pretty bad loss against Temple in the American Championship game. So I got UConn.
Yeah, I also have UConn. I mean, 31-3 record in a very difficult conference this year with the likes of like Marquette, teams like that, and especially a big win against Marquette in the Big East final. I just think that's going to be too much for FAU, who I think is not as strong as last year.
Stinger.
We both in the second round have San Diego State and Auburn, I'm pretty sure. San Diego yep. State's defense, top tier. Auburn is going crazy, as we said. This is a tough game. Who you got?
I have Auburn winning this game. I mean, they're coming off on a very strong streak, beating Florida in the final by 20. I mean, I think it's just going to be a lot for San Diego State to guard, especially with, I mean, they have scores on all sides of the ball. So I think Auburn's going to pull it out.
Yeah, 4 seeds have won 69% of their games against 5 seeds since the 2011 tournament.
Nice. That's a fact.
Auburn wins this game. They move on to the Sweet 16. That game is Sunday in Spokane. Saturday's game, though, is between BYU and Illinois for me. I think you have a different one, actually. This game is Saturday in Omaha. BYU has KenPom's 11th best offense. They've got several guys who can shoot. But Illinois' offense has been hotter, led by Taron Shannon Jr. That will lead the Fighting Illini to their first Sweet 16 since 2005.
So I have BYU and Morehead State, and I think that Morehead State are going to be second-round exits. I think they're going to be, I mean, they're going to be confident after beating Illinois, and I think BYU is just going to shut that down.
Very interesting. So the final game of the second round in this region is number 10, Drake. Number 2, Iowa State. Both of us have this one. This game Saturday in Omaha. The Bulldogs of Drake could have had a great shot at the second weekend, but I think they ran into Iowa State.
Yeah, that's definitely not a two seed that you would want to go up against. Probably the strongest two seed out of all. So yeah, I definitely have Iowa State winning this game.
We've both got Iowa State, the best defense in this region. To the second weekend, the Sweet 16, y'all. The regional semifinals, I guess, is their official term. Both of us have UConn and Auburn in the first game, Thursday, March 28th in Boston, Massachusetts. That is not a far drive from Connecticut, kind of is from Auburn, though. The Huskies have the most points per possession in America this season. Auburn's top tier, but one seeds are 10-1 in their last 11 meetings with four seeds. So UConn will make it 11-1.
This is where we differ, bud.
What?
I have Auburn beating UConn this year. I mean, they won it last year, but I do not have confidence in UConn this year. They've looked good, but at times they have been shaky. And I think that Auburn all around the ball has just been way too good.
Auburn's really good right now, but I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry. UConn's going to win that game. So fix your bracket.
Rude!
The other Sweet 16 game is also that Thursday in Boston. I've got number 3 Illinois. And number 2 Iowa State. Who do you have?
I have BYU and Iowa State. And I have Iowa State winning this one. I mean, like we've said before, Iowa State's too hot coming off of that Big 12 tournament win against the number 1 team in the country too by 30 points. That is just insane. So yeah, I mean, I feel like this is going to be on most people's brackets. They have Iowa State winning, so that's what I have.
That was kind of like an insane game to watch. Is this just developing? You're like, oh, Houston cannot do anything against this team.
41 points.
I've got Illinois and Iowa State 3v2 featuring Power 6 conference champions. Teams who have lost a total of twice since February 22nd, but Iowa State's defense is much better. So I, as well, have the Cyclones from Ames, Iowa, moving on to the Elite Eight. This is the final game of the region, the regional final. I've got UConn and Iowa State. I know you've got Auburn and Iowa State. But this game would be Saturday, March 30th in Boston. I'll just make my pick real quick. If UConn actually gets out of the group, it's going to be perhaps the greatest performance we've seen in a while. They would face Florida Atlantic, who made the Final Four last year. They would beat Auburn, who is hot. And they would beat Iowa State, who is hot. Taman Lipsey and Keyshawn Gilbert are one of the country's best backcourt duos for Iowa State. But unless they can force some turnovers, their offense is limited at times. They forced turnovers against Houston, which is why they dominated that game. But UConn's shooting and their excellent all-around offense is going to take them back to the Final Four for the first time for the second straight season, the first time since UNC in 2016 and 2017 that a team goes back to back in the Final Four. UConn, buddy.
Well, we're kind of similar there. I have Auburn and Iowa State, and I have Auburn as my dark horse. I think they're going to beat Iowa State, even though they're that hot. There has been times this year where Iowa State has been very shaky. I mean, they lost to Virginia Tech. I mean, that's all you got to say, really.
Yeah, Virginia Tech, a team not in the tournament. Currently, while we're recording this podcast, battling it out in the NIT with Richmond.
Yeah, that's a powerhouse.
You got Auburn out of that region. I've got UConn. We got three more regions to go, y'all. Let's scroll down a little bit to the West region, which has the number 1 seed, North Carolina, who is going to face a winner of the first four, Wagner. Wagner on Tuesday night beat Howard, their first win in the tournament. I don't know if that counts. It doesn't matter, though. This game is Thursday, 2:45 p.m. CBS in Charlotte. It's in Charlotte. How are they going to lose?
Yeah, UNC, must I say more?
Yeah, okay. Number 8 seed is Mississippi State. Number 9 seed is Michigan State. If you put MSU in your bracket, you will be correct because both of these teams are MSU. This game is Thursday, 12:15 p.m. on CBS in Charlotte. It is the first game to tip off in this tournament, which means it is my absolute favorite because you come into that first game into the tournament, you have about a wide open mind. You're like, this is my year. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to get a perfect bracket. And then it screws up for you.
So sad.
Not this year, though, because I got Michigan State beating Mississippi State. The Bulldogs, they've got a tough defense that helped them in the SEC this season. Michigan State, though, is back in the tournament for the 26th straight year. Like, it's kind of crazy. Michigan State.
I also have Michigan State winning this. Although Michigan State has looked shaky a couple of times this year, they're playing in a strong Big Ten conference. Mississippi State did have a nice little run in the SEC tournament, but I think that that's not really going to do anything for them against a good Big Ten team.
Michigan State boys. The fifth seed in this region is St. Mary's. They face the 12 seed Grand Canyon, who's a potential upset pick for some people. Andrew, what about you?
Well, believe it or not, it is for me.
Oh!
I have GCU coming off with the victory. There's not really much fact behind this.
Yeah, I don't, but that's okay. St. Mary's, they won the West Coast Conference. That's a conference that's usually dominated by Gonzaga. Gonzaga kind of took a year off. They're still in the tournament, but St. Mary's took advantage. The Gales have an excellent shot defense and rebounding, though. That's going to pull them through against Grand Canyon in the upset. I've got St. Mary's, the fifth seed. By the way, that game is Friday, 10:05 p.m. on True TV in Spokane. I believe that is the last game to tip off in this tournament. The game featuring the fourth seed and the 13th seed in this region is before that, Friday, 7:35 p.m. on True TV in Spokane. Alabama's the fourth seed. College of Charleston is the 13th seed. They were a popular upset pick last year, if you remember, but they faced San Diego State in the first round, and we all know what happened with San Diego State. I think they're going to come up short again because Alabama has scored over 100 points 9 times this season.
It's a fact.
That is insane, Alabama.
I have the college. I'm not going the university this time. I'm going two underdogs to face off against each other in the round of 32. Again, not much thought behind this. It's just that tournament luck. That's what's going to be on my side. Because you can't always have logic in March.
That is true. You can. Sometimes the stats and the facts don't always back you up, as we have seen. We haven't gone 100% perfect on this podcast before. So that's the College of Charleston. The next game in this region is Friday, 3:10 p.m. on True TV in Memphis, Tennessee. The sixth seed is Clemson. The 11th seed is New Mexico, the winners of the Mountain West Conference, Andrew.
So I'm going again with underdog. I'm going New Mexico. I think that Clemson is the most overranked team in this tournament. I think they are very overrated.
Whoa.
If I were to choose a team, I'd probably have Pittsburgh over Clemson. I just don't really understand how they're a six seed. And New Mexico is looking strong. They got good players. I think they're going to come out with a win.
I agree with you, actually. Clemson's lost 3 of their last 4 games. They're in the tournament because of their early season performances. New Mexico is rolling in. They've got a defense that can stifle Clemson. I've got New Mexico, too. The upset we agree on. How about that? There you go. So the 3:14 matchup is on Friday at 12:40 p.m. on True TV in Memphis. Baylor is the third seed. Colgate is the 14th seed. Baylor's always got a competitive team in March under their coach, Scott Drew, and they've got the best offensive rating in the Big 12. Big 12's got some pretty good teams. Colgate's in their fourth straight tournament. They've got the 11th best defense in the country. It doesn't matter. Baylor is going to win.
I don't really feel like there's much to say about that when I also have Baylor.
No, Colgate toothpaste is what you say about that game, actually. The 7:10 matchup is Dayton and Nevada, Thursday at 4:30 p.m. on TBS from Salt Lake City in Utah. Dayton, kind of an easy lock for the tournament, even without winning the Atlantic 10. But Nevada didn't win their conference either. So who you got?
This one I got Nevada. I mean, they have a strong record. I mean, they're coming off a loss against Colorado State, but again, Colorado State's, I mean, I think at the moment that they're beating Virginia, which, I mean, they have their moments, but traditionally a strong school.
That is true. Dayton lost their only game against the top 25 ranked squad this season. Nevada went 3-1 in those games. Those are big games. March Madness is big games. I've got Nevada as well, the 10th seed in that game. And then the final first round game in this region is the 2 seed Arizona, 15th seed Long Beach State. Don't know if y'all have heard the story about Long Beach State, but they informed their coach last Monday that he was not going to be retained. He was going to be gone after the season. And then they won their conference tournament, so they're in the NCAA tournament. I don't know if they can fire him now, even if they're going to lose to Arizona because they averaged the third most points in the country. Arizona's going to win that game.
Yeah, Arizona's got a pretty incredible backcourt. I don't know how Long Beach State, with their coach who doesn't is not going to be their coach after this season, and he already knows that. I feel like he's either going to be really motivated or not motivated enough. But either way, I still think they're going to lose.
Yeah, that game Thursday, 2 o'clock on TBS from Salt Lake. To the second round we go. The one seed is UNC. We both have the 9 seed, Michigan State, in this game on Saturday in Charlotte. Again, Andrew, it's in Charlotte, so.
Yeah, I got North Carolina. RJ Davis, Armando Baca. I mean, that duo is a bunch of fifth years.
Yeah, they're senior leaders who can push that team through in tough games like this one. Michigan State can show up in the big games. They're 11-14 in quad 1 and 2 games this season, but UNC is on a different level. North Carolina, I got as well. And they're in Charlotte. Like, that home court advantage easily. Come on. The other game in the second round, St. Mary's and Alabama. I know you have the complete opposite of me.
Yep. Grand Canyon and Charleston.
I'm going to do St. Mary's at Alabama. St. Mary's defense is the third best in the country when limiting their opponents' points in possession, and they're top tier in defensive rebounding. Alabama has the best offense in America. They average the most points, but their defense is absolutely atrocious. And as we saw in the SEC championship game and other games this year, when their offense isn't firing on all cylinders, other teams will score 100 points on them. I don't know if St. Mary's will score 100 points on them, but they will beat Alabama. What about Grand Canyon and College of Charleston, though?
Well, in this one, I'm pulling for the College of Charleston, who, might I add, is on an 11-game win streak. It's either 11 or 12-game win streak right now. In the CAA, they won their tournament. They're looking very strong at the end of the season, and I think they're going to beat the Grand Canyon.
The Antelopes. The Lopes.
Nice fact.
By the way, that game is Sunday in Spokane. Whoever plays in that game is taking place Sunday in Spokane. Sunday in Memphis, the 11th seed New Mexico, the 3 seed Baylor. I know we've both got these two teams, but who you got winning this game?
This one, I have New Mexico to beat Baylor. I think, although Baylor has been strong, the Lobos have a very strong offense, and I think that they're just going to spark all the threes on Baylor, and they're going to end up pulling away with a victory. I think it's going to be a really close game, though.
I do, too. And you know what? I've got the same outcome. I got New Mexico because they're not the best shooting team, but they don't allow turnovers, and they can definitely force them. I got the upset, too. New Mexico. How about that? The Lobos.
Lobo.
Then the final game of the second round, the 10 seed Nevada, the 2 seed Arizona, Saturday in Salt Lake City. Nevada can force fouls. They've got the 10th most free throw attempts this season, but Arizona has got something that allows them to get to the Sweet 16. That's Caleb Love and his 18 points per game. Arizona's going to beat Nevada.
Yep. I also have Arizona. They got Caleb Love. They're strong interior defense as well, and I think that that's just going to be a lot for Nevada to handle. I mean, you got scorers on all sides of the ball.
I think so, too. And then let's go to the Sweet 16, the second weekend. North Carolina, the 1 seed. St. Mary's, the 5 seed. Well, for me, at least. I don't know. What about you?
I have North Carolina and Charleston. And I have North Carolina to win this game. They're going to end Charleston's hopes of making it to the Elite Eight. North Carolina is just a very, very, very strong team. And I think that Charleston aren't going to be ready for what North Carolina is going to bring to them. I think it's going to be a blowout.
So, by the way, this is the West region. So, this game would be Thursday, the March 28th in Los Angeles. Crypto.com arena. I've got North Carolina and St. Mary's. Both these teams have top-tier defenses. But when transfers Harrison Ingram and Cormac Ryan get hot, it is hard to find a team who can stop North Carolina. They are moving on to the Elite Eight. Other game in the Sweet 16. Both of us have the 11-seed New Mexico and the 2-seed Arizona. This game would also be Thursday the 28th in Los Angeles. New Mexico's got multiple players who can punish you, including Jalen House and Jamal Mashburn Jr., both of whom are the sons of NBA players, by the way. But under Tommy Lloyd, Arizona has not made it past the Sweet 16, and this is not going to be the year they do, because I got New Mexico going to the Elite Eight.
Oh my gosh. I have Arizona ending New Mexico's run here.
Oh.
Although New Mexico has looked good, I think Arizona is a very strong team, even though they did lose in the Pac-12 tournament with the likes of Pili Larsen and Umar Balo. It's going to be too much to handle for New Mexico, especially Balo in the interior.
We'll see. New Mexico, Arizona. So then the final game of this region, the Elite Eight. I got North Carolina, New Mexico. I know you have North Carolina and Arizona, the top two seeds.
So I got North Carolina to win this against Arizona. They're going to have a match everywhere. They're going to have a match for Caleb Love. They're going to have vengeance against Caleb Love because of, let's be real. I mean, he left North Carolina after what they did. And they're not going to like him for that. They're going to want their vengeance. They're going to want to beat him. And I have them. I have North Carolina to beat them.
Ooh, okay. So I've got North Carolina and New Mexico, the 11 seed. This game would be Saturday, by the way, the 30th of March in Los Angeles. North Carolina have the perfect balance of veterans, young players, and elite coaching. But as we saw in the ACC final against NC State, where they lost, their offense can't keep up if their defense falters under some pressure. And since 1985, one seeds are only 5-4 against 11 seeds. That was kind of shocking to me.
This is true.
And so, I think New Mexico becomes the first double-digit seed since UCLA, who was also an 11 seed in 2021, to get to the Final Four. I got the Lobos in the Final Four. How about that?
Wow, the Lobos.
We're halfway through our brackets, y'all. We've got to turn over to the other side of the bracket, to the top right, as we get to the South region, where the number one team is Houston. They didn't act like it, though, against Iowa State in that Big 12 final. But they faced the 16 seed Longwood on Friday, 9:20 p.m. on TNT in Memphis, Tennessee. Longwood, repping VA. The Lancers is a cool name. I don't think it's enough to get past Houston. They're going to be angry after that game, you know? Houston's going to win.
Yeah, they're not going to want to put up with any of Longwood's shenanigans, and it's not going to look good for Longwood. I don't think it's going to be pretty.
So the 8-9 matchup in this region is pretty interesting. Nebraska is the 8 seed. Texas A&M is the 9 seed. Friday at 6:50 p.m. on TNT in Memphis. Two power conference games. Who you got?
I have Nebraska to win this game. Nebraska's looked really good offensively. Although they lost to Illinois, who won the Big Ten tournament, they have, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Kaisei Tominaga, who is, I mean, they're calling him the next Steph Curry. I mean, have you seen him? He pulls up from the logo.
He's Caitlin Clark.
He's the male version of Caitlin Clark.
Wow. Hey, there's only one team in the Power Six conferences who's never won an NCAA tournament game, Andrew. Do you know who that is?
Nebraska.
On the money.
It's Nebraska. And you know what? Nebraska is going to win their first ever NCAA tournament game because I got him beating A&M. How about that?
What a special moment for them.
The 5 seed is Wisconsin in this region. They face the 12 seed James Madison on Friday at 9:40 p.m. Eastern time on CBS in Brooklyn. Wisconsin's offense can compete. They've got their leading scorer, A.J. Storr, but they'll need their defense, led by Chucky Hepburn, to perform to beat JMU, who has been a top-tier defensive team this season. They average the 9th most points per game, but they played just one Power 6 conference team this season. First game of the year, they did beat Michigan State. That was a pretty good game, pretty good win for them. But I got Wisconsin, who was in the Big Ten final, beating JMU.
As much as I don't like this, I have James Madison beating Wisconsin.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, their one really big chance to shine was against Michigan State, and they did end up winning that. And since then, they really haven't had much competition to even compete with them. I mean, they won their Sun Belt tournament. And I think that they're just going to pull off a little upset against Wisconsin.
I guess. I really don't want to inflate their egos, so.
Yeah, I know.
That's why I picked Wisconsin. 4 seed is Duke in this region. The 13th seed is Vermont. This game is Friday, 7:10 p.m. CBS in Brooklyn. Duke has lost 2 games in a row, and they rely mostly on a 6-man rotation. That is a little dangerous. They're showing signs of fatigue. And in the last 38 tournaments, a 13 seed has won at least once, 27 times. Make it 28. I got Vermont beating the Dukies. Big upset.
Lately, I don't think, besides last year with their Final Four run, I think that Duke has had some unlucky events happening to them, especially with the upsets. I mean, We remember what happened with CJ McCollum and Lehigh beating Duke. We all remember that, but I don't think it's going to happen this year. I think that Duke is going to stay strong with their six-man rotation, who is, to be fair, is a very good six-man rotation, and I think they're going to beat Vermont. I mean, hey, you lose to Virginia Tech, you're not winning in the tournament.
Who lost to Virginia Tech?
Vermont.
Oh, they did.
We went to that game.
I think we actually went to that game.
Vermont lost by 20.
Whoops.
Wow. Okay. I totally blanked my mind. All right. The sixth seed in this region is Texas Tech, and the 11th seed is NC State. They are interesting because they just won the ACC tournament, Andrew. They played 5 games in 5 days, and they won all of them. Are they going to win 6 games in however many days?
Yes. They're going to beat Texas Tech. NC State was looking very good in the tournament. I mean, they beat a powerhouse. They beat North Carolina. Yeah, that is no easy feat. And so I think they're going to continue that run. Unlike the Hokies, when we made it to the tournament after winning the ACC tournament. And I think they're actually going to beat Texas Tech.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Virginia Tech played Texas when they won the ACC tournament 2 years ago. Because I picked Texas Tech to win because I remembered when Virginia Tech played 4 games in 4 days and won the ACC tournament. I knew how tired they were. NC State is going to be tired. Although I love DJ Burns. Oh my gosh, he's my new favorite player in college basketball. But Texas Tech's going to win. I'm sorry. They are.
Oh.
That game is Thursday, by the way, 9:40 p.m. CBS in Pittsburgh. The game before that at 7:10 p.m. on Thursday on CBS in Pittsburgh, though, is No. 3 Kentucky, No. 14 Oakland. The SEC has been like an offensive machine this year because Kentucky continued the SEC trend of top offensive firepower. They averaged 89.4 points per game. This isn't the NBA. That's really good. And three seeds have lost just once in their first round matchups in the last 6 years. And Oakland, I don't even know if you know this, Oakland is not even in Oakland, California. It's in Michigan. They lied to us. I got Kentucky, Woody, against Oakland.
Yeah, I thought it was in Oakland, California this whole time. I'm not going to lie. I have Kentucky winning. I mean, Kentucky is just, they're a crazy team. I mean, scoring 120, like almost 120 points in a game, in a college basketball game, it's crazy to me. I mean, they have a full stacked roster, and then they have the best freshman in the country, Rob Dillingham, coming off the bench.
And then Florida will face the winner of Colorado and Boise State, who play Wednesday in the first four. Florida's the 7th seed. This game is Friday, 4:30 p.m. on TBS in Indianapolis. Do you have Florida or do you have the first four team, Colorado or Boise State?
So I have Florida here. Florida, I mean, they had a good run in the tournament before losing to Auburn, who I have in the final four. So I think Florida's going to be pretty confident coming to this game, and I think they're going to shoot well. I think they're just going to have a really good game. They're going to win.
I do not, because Florida's gotten big wins, but they've also played down to their competition at times this season. And I would watch out if Colorado gets out of the first four, because even though they lost to Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game, the final Pac-12 championship game, by the way, KJ Simpson is going to lead the Buffaloes to advance. A first four team has advanced every tournament since 2019.
That was a fact.
Just thought you'd know. Colorado's going to be that team this year. I got the Buffaloes.
Wowzers.
And then the final, that game, by the way, is Friday, 4:30 p.m., TBS, Indianapolis. And then the final game of the first round in the South is Marquette, the 2 seed, Western Kentucky, the 15 seed, Friday at 2 p.m. on TBS in Indianapolis. The Golden Eagles, they were in it until the very end with UConn in the Big East final. Now they lost by 16, but it was still a close competitive game, and they're talented on both ends of the floor. Western Kentucky's got a top 40 defense that could prove tricky, but I've got Marquette over the Hilltoppers.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of like a no-brainer in this situation. I have Marquette also winning.
How about that? And then we move on to the second round. Sunday, the 24th in Memphis. Both of us have the 1 seed Houston, the 8 seed Nebraska. Do you have Houston getting back to their winning ways, Andrew?
Yes, I do. I have Houston to beat Nebraska. I mean, they had an unlucky stretch, of course, in that Big 12 tournament final. But I still think that they're going to come out and they're going to be mad. They're going to be angry about that loss and they're going to come back and win.
Okay, well, can I tell you something?
What?
You are wrong because Nebraska has shown that they cannot just beat teams, they can hang with the best. They beat Wisconsin this year. They beat Purdue. They fell by just 3 points to Illinois on the road. An 8 seed has beaten a 1 seed each of the last 3 tournaments. Make it 4. Nebraska beats Houston. How about that?
Sure about that?
Well, that's where we differ.
Is it a fact?
No.
It's a fact, though.
It's not a fact. It's a fallacy.
Second round, I've got the 5 seed Wisconsin against the 13 seed Vermont. I do not believe you have either of those two teams.
Nope. I have James Madison and Duke.
Okay, so that game's Sunday in Brooklyn. For me, Wisconsin, they like to play slow. Vermont actually has the 9th best offense in Division I. I don't know if you knew that. A 13 seed has not beaten a 5 seed, though, since 2006. But 2024 is the year. I got Vermont over Wisconsin to the Sweet 16.
Wow. That's a pretty crazy pick.
I'm a pretty crazy dude.
I have James Madison and Duke, and I have Duke to win this game. Oh, I mean, I think Duke just has too much firepower for James Madison. I don't really think it's going to be a close game, if I'm being completely honest. I think Duke's really going to win.
The other game, number 6, Texas Tech. You don't have Texas Tech, though. You've got NC State against Kentucky.
Yep, and I have Kentucky to beat NC State. I'm sorry to all those Kentucky or those NC State fans, but Kentucky's offensive firepower is going to be too much for NC State. I think that NC State will score a lot of points, but I think Kentucky is going to score probably at least 100. I mean, I would not be surprised to see it.
If NC State makes the second round, that'd be an extremely tired NC State team. I would not be surprised if Kentucky dropped a century mark on them. But I've got Kentucky and Texas Tech Saturday in Pittsburgh. Texas Tech's coach, Grant McCaslin, he's done a great job in his first season. But Kentucky's got 5 players who average over 10 points a game, including Antonio Reeves at 20 points per game. So I've got Kentucky probably scoring a lot of points to make the Sweet 16. In the final game in this second round, I've got Colorado and Marquette Sunday in Indianapolis. Colorado beat who they needed to in the Pac-12. They just couldn't beat Arizona in the 2 tries they had this season. They lost by at least 20 points both times. And Marquette can battle back against teams who haven't shown they can perform best when the lights are brightest. So I got Mr. Shaka Smart and Marquette beating Colorado.
Oh, so I have Florida and Marquette in this one. In this one, I'm just going straight off of March. I'm going Florida to beat Marquette. Believe it or not, Florida has showed up in big games this season, so I think they're going to show up here and then they're going to beat Marquette.
Big upset. Okay, let's move on to the Sweet 16 then. Nebraska, I've got, we are not even close. I've got the 8 seed Nebraska, the 13 seed Vermont.
So I have Houston and Duke in this matchup. And, I mean, Duke has a ton of firepower on offense. Kyle Filipowski, Jeremy Roach, Jared McCain, one of the best freshmen in the nation. But I don't think that's going to be enough. I think that Houston is going to use their depth, and they're going to beat Duke.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, depth is one of the things we talked about with Duke earlier. I've got Nebraska and Vermont, and this game would be Friday, March 29th in Dallas. That's where the South region is being played this year. The only 8 versus 13 seed game we've ever seen in the NCAA tournament was in 1998.
Spitting the truth.
Rhode Island played Valparaiso, and with a deep squad that keeps the team fresh, Nebraska's offense is able to outperform any Vermont defensive prowess. I've got Nebraska to the Elite Eight, even though they have not won an NCAA tournament game as we speak ever. I've got them in the Elite Eight.
Oof.
And then the other Sweet 16 game, I've got the 3v2 matchup that I really want to see, Kentucky and Marquette in Dallas on Friday. Like its Southeastern Conference counterpart, Alabama, Kentucky cannot lose. Like, I don't think they can lose when their offense is on, but their defense cannot help them when their shooting starts to falter. And by the second weekend, Marquette is going to have Tyler Kolek back from injury. He leads the country with 7.6 assists per game. His presence is going to give Marquette a boost that gets past Kentucky in what could be a shootout. The Golden Eagles to the Elite Eight.
So this one, I have Kentucky and Florida. They've met twice in this year, both winning on the road, scoring 85 points at least. But this one, I've got Kentucky to win. I think Kentucky, near the end of the season, has been shooting exceptionally well. I think that they're going to beat Florida, who cannot match their offensive firepower.
Regional final, Elite Eight. Andrew, who you got making it to the Final Four from the South region?
So I have Houston and Kentucky. And I know Houston fans aren't going to like this one, but I have Kentucky. I think they're going to shoot really well this tournament. I mean, with the likes of Reed Shepard and Rob Dillingham off the bench, two of the best freshmen in the country on the same team, two of the best shooting freshmen on the same team as well, or shooting players in the nation at that. I think also with the likes of Antonio Reeves, I think Kentucky's going to beat Houston.
Okay, so I got Nebraska and I got Marquette. This game would be Sunday, the last day of March, the 31st, by the way, in Dallas. Nebraska hasn't won an NCAA tournament game, yet I've got them one game away from the Final Four. Unfortunately, they're meeting a well-oiled machine led by a coach who's been to the Final Four before, by the way, at VCU. Alongside Tyler Kolek, their leading scorers, Cam Jones and Oso Igodaro, are going to ignite the Golden Eagles to their first Final Four since Dwayne Wade was playing college basketball in 2003. Marquette to the Final Four. There you go. That is the third region down. We have just one more, y'all. Bear with us. We're almost to the big time.
Are we done yet?
Let's go to the Midwest in the bottom left quadrant of the bracket. This is Purdue's region. Purdue is the one seed. Purdue was a one seed last year, though, Andrew. Do you remember what happened in that game?
I do remember what happened in that game. I remember Farley Dickinson. I wonder if that rings a bell.
Farley Dickinson, I'm not sure, actually. I can't remember how you pronounce them. But Grambling or Montana State, that is the first four matchup on Wednesday of 16 seeds. That is who will face Purdue on Friday at 7:25 p.m. on TBS in Indianapolis. They're not Farley Dickinson. And Purdue's going to make sure this doesn't happen again. I got Purdue.
Yeah, I don't see who's going to stop Zach Edey on any of these teams. And even with Zach Edey, they have shooters too. Like it's not just the Zach Edey party. They have really good players on their perimeter as well. So yeah, Purdue.
Yeah, Purdue's better than they were last year all around. 8-9 matchup in this Midwest region is Utah State and TCU Friday, 9:55 PM, TBS in Indianapolis. This was really tight for me. So I'm interested to see who you got.
Yeah, it was for me too in the thought process, but I'm just going with my gut pick, and that's TCU. They started off the year really strong. They kind of declined a little bit at the end of the year, but they were going against teams that were, I mean, really good. They were going against like Baylor, BYU, Houston, teams like that. So, I mean, obviously it's going to be hard to beat those teams. And I think that the teams that TCU are supposed to beat were the teams that they were beating. And I think that they should beat Utah State.
I've got that too. I think TCU was more efficient than the Aggies of Utah State. TCU lost just six more games, though, than Utah State. But nine seeds have won 13 of the last 20 of these first-round contests against eight seeds. So I got TCU as well. How about that? Texas Christian University. And you remember I mentioned Gonzaga earlier? They're the five seed in this region. They face the 12-seed McNeese, who is coached by former LSU coach Will Wade. He is not exactly a clean figure in college basketball, but he's got a 30-3 team. They're pretty good. The Cowboys from Lake Charles, Louisiana. They're great at scoring. They've got the defense to keep up. So I got McNeese in the upset over Gonzaga.
Wow. So although Gonzaga has had an off year this year, I still think that just by the name, they're never going to be out of it, and I think it's going to be Gonzaga.
We'll see. That game, by the way, Thursday, 7:25 PM on TBS in Salt Lake City. The next game is Thursday, the 21st, 9:55 PM on TBS in Salt Lake City. The 4-seed Kansas, the 13-seed Samford. I feel like this might be a popular upset pick, but I don't know. What do you think?
Not for me. I've got Kansas to win this game. I mean, like I said, for some of the other teams, although they have a very good center in Hunter Dickinson, you got the likes of all their perimeter players who can really shoot the three, and I think that that's going to beat Samford.
I do too. Hunter Dickinson didn't play in the Big 12 tournament. He's going to be back. They get one of the best players back. That's why they kind of blew out of the Big 12 tournament so quickly, and I don't think the Big South champs have any chance. Kansas is going to win. They will move on to the second round. And then also in the first round, the 6th seed South Carolina faces the 11th seed Oregon Thursday, the 21st, 4 o'clock p.m. TNT in Pittsburgh. South Carolina was picked to finish last in the SEC, and instead they're one of 5 ranked SEC teams at the moment, which is the media did not get it right with that one. But yeah. Oregon is hot. They just won the Pac-12, final Pac-12 championship game. We can cry about that later.
That's terrible.
Hot Dana Altman-coached Oregon teams have made runs in this tournament before. This could be the start. I've got Oregon over South Carolina.
I also have Oregon over South Carolina as well. I just have that feeling.
You get that feeling sometimes with Oregon. When they make the tournament, you never know, you know?
Yeah, that's the same with most Pac-12 teams, I feel like.
Creighton is in the Big East, though. They're the 3rd seed in this region. They face the 14th seed Akron Thursday, 1:30 p.m. on TNT in Pittsburgh. Who you got?
I've got the upset. I've got Akron winning this. I mean, did you see that final? I mean, they shouldn't have even made it. And I feel like with that motivation and those thoughts in their head, they're going to come up with an upset against Creighton.
So I don't know exactly what happened in that MAC championship game, but yeah, wasn't Kent State, didn't they make like a fatal error?
Yeah, Kent State was up with 4 seconds to go, and they fouled the player with the ball on Akron.
Oh, that's right. I remember, oh my gosh, yeah. Akron shouldn't be in this game, which is why I've got Creighton winning this game. Their high-powered offense, backed up by a defense, doesn't allow teams to blow past them often. This is not the type of team to get upset in the first round, I don't think. I'm sorry, I got Creighton winning this game.
Well, that's fine.
7th seed, Texas, faces the winner of the 10-seed first 4 game, Colorado State and Virginia. We are recording this Tuesday night. Andrew, how many points did Virginia score in the first half of their game against Colorado State?
14, and they have 16 right now.
What? Oh.
16 minutes left in the second.
Through 4 minutes of the second half, they've scored another 2 points.
Yeah.
Gosh, that is impressive. I don't complain about teams getting in or out very often, but it's an absolute joke. Virginia got in. I mean,
Pitt deserved it so much more.
Virginia's defense is great. Their offense is atrocious. But they're not going to be in this game. I think it's going to be Texas and Colorado State. The Longhorns, they've been a well-balanced force in the most difficult conference in the country. Colorado State's going to win that first 4 game. They're not going to win this game against Texas. I got the Longhorns.
I also have the Longhorns. I mean, although their record was not up to par, I think they got Max Asemus. I mean, he thrives in March. It's going to be hard to stop.
Oh, there you go. That game Thursday, 6:50 p.m. on TNT in Charlotte. And the final first round game we're predicting on this podcast. This is kind of sad. The 2-seed Tennessee, the 15-seed. This name might also ring a bell, Andrew, I think. St. Peter's. Does that ring a bell to you?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely enlarged in my brain somewhere.
So, are they going to do what they did? What was it, 2 years ago?
And okay. No. I have Tennessee. Dalton connect. Oh. He's going to connect from 3. He's going to score 30 points, and they're going to beat St. Peter's.
Do better.
Yeah, Tennessee's offense, they were good enough to stay even with the SEC, but defense is where they really thrive. St. Peter's is going to be a popular pick, obviously, because of what they did 2 years ago, but their coach is gone. Their team is totally different, okay?
Yeah.
It's not the same team. Tennessee is going to beat St. Peter's Thursday, 9:20 p.m. TNT in Charlotte. To the second round we go. We both have the 1-seed Purdue, the 9-seed TCU. This would be Sunday in Indianapolis. There's a reason Purdue's good. His name is Zach Edey. I think we talked about him. He leads the sport in points per game and is 3rd in rebounds in the country. He's an incredible specimen in college basketball. And 9-seeds only have 1 win against 1-seeds in the last 9 tournaments. TCU does not have enough to defy this fact. Purdue will win.
I completely agree with that. Purdue has struggled in March very recently. I mean, they've had great teams, but they just haven't been able to make it out and into the Final Four or anything near that. And I think that they're gonna steamroll TCU.
Okay. And then moving on in the second round, I've got McNeese in Kansas, but I know you have Gonzaga in Kansas.
I do have Gonzaga in Kansas, and I have Kansas pulling off the win here. I mean, like we were saying earlier, Gonzaga has not been up to their line this year. I mean, they're used to being a one seed. I mean, they've had all these players that were lost to the draft, and they don't got it this year. And Kansas, although Kansas is having somewhat of an off year to their standards, I still think that Kansas is going to win this.
Yeah, I don't have Gonzaga. I've got McNeese, but I do have bad news for Kansas. We learned on Tuesday that Kevin McCullough Jr., who's their leading scorer, didn't play in the Big 12 tournament. He is out for the entirety of the NCAA tournament.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm just letting you know. McNeese's offense is sneaky good, too. They're top 20 in the country in points per possession, ball handling, and free throw attempts per field goal attempts. I got McNeese, the upset, over Kansas Saturday the 23rd in Salt Lake City. Book it. That's a fact. McNeese State is going to the Sweet 16. How about that? Third matchup in the second round in this bracket is Oregon and Creighton. For me, this would be Saturday, Pittsburgh. Winning a conference tournament as a lower, unexpected seed can take a lot out of you, which could happen to Oregon, like we talked about with NC State, Virginia Tech a couple years ago. And Creighton's a team whose offense or their defense can beat you. Creighton beats Oregon. But you don't have Creighton in this game. I don't know how. But
nope, okay. I have Oregon and Akron. Two conference tournament winners. And I'm going to go with the one from the better conference. I'm going to go Oregon to beat Akron.
Wow. Okay. To the Sweet 16. They could be making a little bit of a run out of that.
Yeah.
And then the final matchup in the second round, Saturday the 23rd in Charlotte, we both have Texas and Tennessee. Couple UTs matching up in a conference game next year, Andrew.
Wow. Yep. And I have the closer UT to us. I have Tennessee to win this game. Tennessee, like you said, has had a very strong defense and also a good offense that has competed with these SEC schools like Kentucky and Alabama. And I think that Tennessee is going to beat Texas.
Yeah, you mentioned Texas's record earlier. They went 9-9 in conference play, which in the ACC would get you banished, but Big 12 gets you in the tournament, I guess.
7 seed, too.
The Volunteers have the SEC Player of the Year, Dalton Knecht. He's averaging 21 points a game. So they're good on offense, too, and they have a great defense. UT, Tennessee wins this game to the Sweet 16. We've got those two games now, the regional semifinals. I've got the 1 seed Purdue and the 12 seed McNeese. Friday, March 29th, the Midwest region is being played. The semifinals and the final of this region are being played in Detroit. Michigan, the stigma around Purdue is that they'll falter early once again, because that's what they do. But I believe in this Zach Edey-led team. And I think McNeese, like most teams, they don't have anyone who could stop them. Purdue moves on to the Elite Eight.
And I have Purdue versus Kansas. And I mean, that breaking news about Kevin McCullough, I mean, that is their best perimeter guard. And I think that without him, that's going to be a struggle for Kansas. And I think that Purdue's going to beat Kansas. Especially with Zach Edey's last eligible year.
Did that change your pick, actually?
Yeah, it did. I had Kansas.
Oh, well. I'm glad you have all the facts now.
Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I just learned it. Like, this is from a couple hours ago, too. So I'm glad we did this podcast on a Tuesday night, actually.
Too many facts.
The other Sweet 16 game, I've got the 3v2. I really want to see this 3v2. Creighton and Tennessee. This would also be Friday in Detroit, but you don't have Creighton, do you, sadly?
Nope, I have Tennessee and Oregon. And believe it or not, I got Oregon making it out, beating Tennessee. Shocker for the world. Oregon's going to the Elite Eight.
So I agree with you that Tennessee is going to lose, actually. I've got the Blue Jays. They made the Elite Eight last year, and they returned their top three scorers from last year. Creighton, Tennessee's offense is just 29th, according to KenPom. It won't be able to hang with them. While they played 15 quad one games this season, they won just 8 of them. Creighton wins. They move on to the Elite Eight for the second straight year, by the way.
Ooh.
How about that? So, this Elite Eight matchup, Andrew, I've got Purdue and Creighton. This would be Sunday, March 31st in Detroit. So, we made it to the Elite Eight. Maybe this is where the Boilermakers finally fall. Every time a 1 seed loses to a 16 seed in the previous tournament, they've gone on to win the tournament. You know that, right? Like, that's always happened.
Wow.
But that's only happened one time. The sample size is pretty small. UVA is the only one seed who's lost to a 16 seed before.
Oh, yeah.
And Creighton's firepower, which is headlined by those returnees, Baylor Shireman, Trey Alexander, and Ryan Kalkbrenner, they're going to have a point to prove to advance beyond last season. Purdue will have not have faced a tough as test as Creighton while playing in the Big Ten. Omaha's team is going to move on to Arizona, advancing to their first Final Four ever. I got Creighton going to the Final Four. How about that?
So for me, I have Purdue to finally make it to the Final Four after all these years of struggling, and especially after last year losing to a 16 seed. They're going to want revenge, and they're going to beat Oregon.
Wow. Okay, you almost had the 11 seed. So y'all, those are the four regions. We're almost done. Don't worry, you don't have to listen to us for very much longer.
That's nice.
We are at the final three games, the Final Four, which is taking place Saturday, April 6th, as I said on TBS, in Glendale, Arizona, State Farm Stadium, the home of the Arizona Cardinals. It's a football stadium, but it's hosting the Final Four. In my first Final Four matchup, if y'all are ready for this, I've got UConn and New Mexico. In my other one, I've got Marquette and Creighton. Andrew, who do you have in your Final Four matchups?
I have Auburn and North Carolina in my matchups. And in my second one, I have Kentucky and Purdue.
All right. So who do you got in Auburn and North Carolina?
So we have Auburn, a very hot team coming out of the SEC, winning the SEC tournament. And we have North Carolina, a team that, although they've been very hot, they did lose to NC State in the ACC tournament. With all that firepower in that game, I have Auburn beating North Carolina and heading to the national championship.
Wow. Okay. Very interesting. So I've got UConn and New Mexico. By the way, I don't know if y'all remember, last year, we both had the same national champion, and now we have none of the same teams in the Final Four. Just letting you know. So I've got UConn and New Mexico in my first Final Four game, the 1 seed and the 11 seed. UConn is led by leading scorers Tristan Newton, Cam Spencer, and Alex Caraban. Their dominant offense has proven too much for so many other teams this season. So New Mexico, if they're going to need to have a chance, they're going to need to do what they do best and take it to the max. They're going to need to hold on to the ball, force turnovers, control the tempo, and also hope for a rough shooting night from the other side. But I don't think that's going to happen. UConn's dominance on offense should be enough on its own. But its top 15 defense, along with the fact the Huskies have not lost a quad two or below game this season, shows that they always win when they're supposed to. This is going to get them to their second consecutive national title clash. I've got UConn to the national championship game.
Ooh.
The other half of the Final Four. I've got Marquette and Creighton also Saturday, April 6th in Glendale, Arizona. This would be the first time that three teams from the same conference, UConn, Marquette, Creighton, all from the Big East, the only three Big East teams in the tournament, by the way. This would be the first time that three teams from the same conference are in the Final Four since the legendary 1985 tournament, which was also the Big East. Villanova, Georgetown, and St. John's went to the Final Four that year.
It's the truth.
And because Marquette and Creighton have already met each other two times this season, it means that the third could quite possibly be the best college basketball game we get to witness this entire season. And Shaka Smart, the head coach of Marquette, knows what this stage is all about. He's got a player in Tyler Kolek who is almost impossible to guard offensively. Cam Jones, Oso Iguodaro, and David Joplin are also averaging 10 points per game or more. Marquette's a team that can force turnovers, and they are excellent at getting points off those turnovers, but they can also hold on to the ball on offense as well. But the Golden Eagles are not the biggest team, meaning that if there's a team that can force its way down low and easily get rebounds, that could pose a difficult test. And you know what? Creighton is one of those teams. Their big three of Shireman, Alexander, and Kalkbrenner, they all average over 17 points a game, by the way. So when one of them has an off night, the Blue Jays can still win, you know? And it's not just on the offensive end, because Creighton is the best team in America at limiting their opponents' free throw attempts. Creighton can, and they will, take down Marquette in an all Big East affair to advance to their first national championship game in program history. I got Creighton in the national championship game. I got Creighton versus UConn. Andrew, who do you have in the second Final Four?
So I have Kentucky and Purdue. Kentucky with all their offensive firepower going against Zach Edey and their pretty amazing backcourt. So we have Zach Edey. There's matchups all over the floor. They have Kentucky has so much depth, so much firepower on offense, big centers, I mean, incredible shooters. And I think that that's going to be the end for Purdue. And I think Kentucky's going to make it to an all-SEC national championship.
Wow. So you got all-SEC, I got all Big East.
Yep.
So listen, I got this little stat for you, because I'm going to give you the honor of letting you pick the national champion first here on this podcast this year. This would be the first time since 1988 that a single conference is guaranteed a national champion, because both teams would be from the same conference. That was Kansas and Oklahoma in the old Big Eight, which preceded the Big 12, actually. So for both of us, that fact matters. How about that?
Wow. It's very important.
There you go. All right, Andrew. You've got Kentucky, you've got Auburn. Who is your national champion?
So the national champion for the 2023-24 season is going to be the Auburn Tigers.
Oh!
They're going to beat Kentucky. They lost to them earlier in the year, and the one time they faced each other at Auburn, too. I think Auburn's going to really want the revenge against Kentucky, and in the highest stake game there is, they're going to beat Kentucky.
Honestly, that would not be so bad. I would like that.
Yeah. And I think that there's going to be 162 total points in the championship game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we do need the tiebreaker. That's good. Okay. Very nice. Well, I would like that to happen. That'd be nice, but it's not going to happen. Okay. Here's what's going to happen.
Get ready.
We got UConn. We got Creighton. There is absolutely no reason to doubt the people thinking UConn is going to make it back to the national championship game for the second straight year, y'all. UConn has the best offensive rating in the United States of America. They're KenPom's most efficient team, and they just got through a gauntlet at the top of the Big East to win the conference for the first time in 13 years. They've got five players who average over 10 points per game, including Newton Caravan and Donovan Klingon, who were all massive contributors to last year's championship run. So they've got championship experience on their team. But Creighton also has some dominant figures of their own. They're just one of three teams who took down the Huskies this season. They're one of just two teams in the country who are top 10 in effective field goal percentage on offense, and also top 20 in the opponent's effective field goal percentage on defense. They're just one of two teams. The other team, though, is UConn in that statistic. And I'm not sure if you know this, but teams that have lost their first game in their conference tournament have never won the NCAA tournament that same year. That's pretty bad news for Creighton. But here's the ultimate fact you need. This is, if you take away anything from this podcast, let it be this fact. Just three times, and since the seeding began in the NCAA tournament, just three times has the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament won the national championship. The last time that happened was when Florida won the title in 2007. But do you also know what happened in 2007? Because that was also the last time that a school won back-to-back national championships. So, what's going to happen, Andrew? The University of Connecticut Huskies are going to win the national championship game for the second year in a row. They are going to win 83-74. I don't know math. That's like 157 points, I believe. They're going to be the 2024 NCAA Division I men's basketball national champions, because that's the ultimate fact you need.
Fact nugget.
Well, this year we differ.
This year we differed. And you know what? All the other years we've differed, I've been right. So,
well, I guess we'll see. We'll see when I'm right. And Auburn's beating UConn in the Sweet 16.
I guess we'll see. So I did do a little teaser at the end of last week's podcast. I said we're not just going to talk about men's college basketball. We're also going to talk about women's college basketball. I just have to ask you one question, Andrew. Who is your women's tournament champion? Because I know everybody's been following Caitlin Clark. Iowa, South Carolina has been undefeated. Our Hokies are pretty good at women's basketball, too. Depends on if they get Liz Kitley back. But I just got to ask you, who is your women's college basketball national champion before we wrap up this podcast?
Well, I'll tell you this much. It's not going to be Caitlin Clark. I don't even think she's making it to the Final Four.
Oh, wow.
I think that if the Hokies have Liz Kitley, then they might win the national championship. But without her, they might not make it to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I'm really worried.
Yeah.
I'm really worried. Okay, but you like you have to make a pick. Like, you have to make a pick before the games start.
Okay, we'll go probably South Carolina. I think South Carolina. I mean, they're the heavy favorite, but I don't see how they're really going to lose to anybody.
Yeah, they haven't lost to anybody this year.
Yeah.
I really like Virginia. Liz Kelly, please. We need this. We need this. We need you to get better, please. We're praying for you. But I got to be honest, too. South Carolina has not, I don't see, they've had chances to lose, and they're not going to lose to LSU. Oh my gosh, disgusting.
Ghetto Nation. That fight was crazy.
Listen, I think I got South Carolina, too, in that tournament. All right. I do have one more question, though, that is not related to basketball that I have to ask you before we end this podcast, because this is a massive sports week. I don't know if you knew this. In soccer, I don't know if y'all know, Andrew's a soccer player.
Oh, yeah.
The CONCACAF Nations League is happening this week. Thursday, the U.S. plays Jamaica, and Mexico plays Panama, and then Sunday is the final. So you have to give me your winner of the third ever CONCACAF Nations League.
Oh, you already know I'm going with the United States. Easy wins.
The USA!
Easy wins.
Man. I got to be honest.
All
day. What are we going to do Thursday night? Like 7 o'clock? We're going to have four March Madness games on and the CONCACAF Nations League. Like, I can't miss that, too. Like, what? Why would they plan it this week? That is horrible. But you know what? USA all day, baby.
America!
I mean, come on. Oh, They've won the last two. They only win trophies. Maybe not the Gold Cup last year, but they only win
CONCACAF Nations. Maybe not the World Cup either, but...
No. Oh, 2026.
Yeah.
Just have to give a little update to everybody. Virginia is only losing by 18 in the second half. And Virginia Tech beat Richmond.
Let's go.
In the first round of the NIT, they will face Ohio State. They are not going to beat Ohio State. They're not going to beat Ohio State.
No, they're not.
All right. So I had to ask all those questions. Andrew, for the fourth year in a row, you have graced us with your presence and your facts.
The picks.
On our college basketball and your picks on our March Madness bracket unveiling podcast. You've got Auburn winning the national championship. I've got UConn. So it's got to be one of those two teams, I think. So
yeah, I mean, they're going to have to go against each other in the Sweet 16. If
they are,
if
Sweet 16,
they win.
Wow, that'll be a nice matchup of the Sweet 16. All right, Andrew, thanks for coming on the podcast once again for our March Madness bracket reveal. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
Every year. Honored.
Xander's Facts.
So, y'all, there you go. Like, congratulations. You got the national champion before the tournament even starts. UConn. Honestly, Auburn's not a bad pick either. So, Andrew did a pretty good job. But we all know who it's going to be. I'm just saying. It's a fact. So, those are all the facts we have for y'all on this week's edition of the podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. There were a lot of facts. Y'all remember to follow this podcast, download this episode, rate and review the podcast. Check us out on all the socials, Threads, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, at Xander's Facts. That's Xander with a Z. And most importantly, remember to tell all your friends about the podcast. We like to call it spreading the facts around here. Tell all your friends about the podcast, the newsletter, Xander's Weekend Facts, the YouTube channel. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, y'all, because it's got the nice background you can watch while you're listening to the podcast. Bump our subscriber numbers up. You should go do that. That's linked in this episode's description. So is the link tree. That has all the Xander's Facts links that you need. Linktr.ee/Xander's Facts. That is also linked in this episode's description. There you have it, y'all. One of my favorite podcasts we do every year, March Madness Bracket Reveal. I love it. Next week, though, we are not doing a new episode of the Xander's Facts podcast. We're going to do a little Xander's Facts flashback, go back to a previous podcast. You may have missed some facts. We got 136 podcasts of facts now, so I've probably missed a lot of facts, so we're going to go back to a past episode next week, but we've got our brand new Zaters Facts podcast, episode 137, that is coming out in 2 weeks, that's April. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Episode 137 in 2 weeks. It's going to be April, springtime. That'll be good. I'm excited for all the facts we'll have in 2 weeks on episode 137 of the Zaters Facts podcast. But that is it, y'all. That is a wrap on episode 136 of the Zaters Facts podcast. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see y'all with episode 137 in 2 weeks.
We are a nation that just recently heard that Saudi Arabia and Russia will be...